Good morning. Bible reading this morning is from Philemon verses 4 to 7. And I'm reading from the bulletin. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people.
Dear Father God, it is our most wonderful privilege to be in your presence today. It is the most wonderful thing that we can talk to you about the things that matter to us. And Father, right now we want to take this time, we choose to take this time to thank you and praise you for the amazing goodness that you have shown to this church over this last little while. Father, we want to thank you for the way in which you have kept Lily safe. There's a set of circumstances that none of us would hope would happen, and we can't even come close to imagining the grief that must have caused Mitch and Penny as they contemplated what might have been. But Father, you have done more than anyone could have imagined. And Father, I know that even in the story of what unfolded, the fact that the car was where it was a little unusual. Thank you for allowing that to happen. Father, even the fact that there are only graces and not breaks and a whole heap of internal injuries just amazes us. So we offer our praise and thanks to you today. Father, it is wonderful that you have chosen to be with the Christies, that you have chosen to bless them with your goodness, your love, and your healing power as well, Father. We don't want to underestimate that. We sometimes get to the point of just knowing that certainly medical advances have increased. But Father, we know that you have intervened in that moment, in that situation. And so, Father, we join with the Christies in praising and worshipping you. Father, there are so many other things that have been happening in the church. We know for a long time it's been a really tough journey for Arthur and Margot Evans, with Arthur having had a stroke. But today, Father, we hear news that there is that process in place now for the two of them to be able to make their way home. And so, Father, even though that's still a distance off, we recognise that once again you have enabled Arthur to be able to begin walking. You are putting in place the things needed for them to get back to their home. Once again, Father, it is beyond what we could have imagined only a few weeks ago. You are a great God. And Father, as we look at our individual lives and all that we experience, we can see your hand of mercy there with us in so many different ways. But Father, we want to stop, and ultimately we want to thank you for the salvation you bring through Jesus Christ. Because all of these other things are just things of this earth, I guess. But the salvation you bring is our life that is there for all eternity. And we want to thank you and praise you for it. Father, today as we open your word, as we come to this book of Philemon, a short letter, I do pray, Father, that once again, what we look at today will not just be a few words on a page, but will really be something that enriches our experience, will enable us to be the people that you want us to be. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles there, you might actually like to turn to the letter of Philemon and to have that open there. So as we all know, and particularly since I ripped David Shielder to bits, as you know, we started the series on Philemon last week. Only 25 verses long, only 25 verses long, and we're going through a five-week series on it. But it's full of tremendous discipleship principles. But they're not just discipleship principles. They're the kind of things that if we put them into place, then our walk and our experience will be enriched. And I have no doubt that we will get a spring in our step by applying these things. The things that we learned from last week. Paul clearly knew Philemon. He had got to know Onesimus. And so in this letter, this is not just a man at a distance writing a letter. Yes, he was at a distance physically, but in his mind and in his thinking, he knew Philemon. He knew Onesimus, and so it was a very personal letter. In fact, we probably, as we found out, Paul probably even had the privilege of leading Philemon to the Lord. We also saw that Paul recognized that he was getting on in years. And so it was important for him to be putting into place someone who would stand as an understudy, someone who would take the work on. And so that's why he makes reference to Timothy and the way in which he wanted to introduce Timothy to Philemon. And one of the things we talked about last week is the truth. We're all getting on in years. And we put out the challenge, 10 years' time, 20 years' time, what's our church going to look like? And we need to make sure that we're encouraging a young generation, a new generation, to come and experience the wonder of what it is to be Christians, the wonder of what it is to be in fellowship in a church. That's our responsibility now, and we need to be committed to it. But ultimately, what we focused on last week was the fact that a letter was written. Paul took the time to write a letter to Philemon. And obviously it was a letter that mattered because it was kept and it was treasured. And because it was kept and treasured, we actually have it today. Philemon had just got it and said, oh, that's very nice, screwed it up and threw it in the bin. It would have been lost. But it was a letter that really mattered. And one of the things that I said is I talked about the fact that, do you have a treasured correspondence, a letter from someone that means a lot to you? And I was actually quite amazed at how many people came up to me and said, I've actually got a letter like that. I've got a letter like that that was written by my grandfather to my grandmother. Or I've got a letter like that that was a part of my history. If we've got those things, then would you like your children and your grandchildren to have something like that? I wonder whether we need to write them a letter to tell them how much we value them, how much we appreciate them, and for them to maybe receive a letter like that. Sure, we can do other things. We can make phone calls or send emails or send a text. But I wonder in this day when very few people are sending letters, it's maybe time for us to write that letter. And that really brings us to this week. And this week we're looking at verses 4 to 7. And in this week we get to learn a lot about Paul. And we get to learn a lot about Philemon as well. I know there's only four verses, but it's amazing how much we can learn in that distance. Like last week, there's going to be a call for response. I'm warning you in advance. So you just can't sit there and walk away and go, oh, well, I don't need to make a response to it. There is a call to a response. Verse 4. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. So what are we told about Paul to start with there? To start with, we see that he is a man of prayer. Prayer matters to him. Now, in part, I think we probably say, of course. You know, that's going to be the way it is. He's an apostle. He's an apostle. He's a church leader. Of course he's going to be a man of prayer. All church leaders, all people of high position within the church are obviously going to be people of prayer. Well, maybe not necessarily. That's not an assumption that we can make. I've spent a lot of time with other ministers, and in particular young ministers, as I've mentored them, who have been going through some really dry and barren times. And as they're going through those really tough times in their life, they would speak words like they have found it really hard to pray. And now some have even said, you know what? I'm not even sure I want to pray. And we can be horrified by that. But we have to understand the depths of despair that some people go through. I think we need to make sure that we are always upholding our leaders and making sure that as they go through the tough times, we are there praying in their stead and that we are supporting them. I wonder whether it's a season like that for you, where this is a season for you where prayer is actually a bit of a tough journey. It's not something that you find yourself saying, this is what I want to be doing. And if it's one of those tough times for you, can I encourage you to talk to someone about that? Have someone to be standing in your stead and praying for you. See, a part of discipleship is really helping people find their way through those low times in their Christian experiences. See, Paul was in prison, and I think sometimes we underestimate that, or at least he was under house arrest. And Jesse had plenty of time to pray, but it could also have easily been a time when he was angry with God. Why had God allowed him to be put into prison? Why had God allowed these circumstances to come his way? It would have been easy for him to not want to pray, but instead he chose to do that. So he was a man of prayer, and we shouldn't underestimate that. His ministry, it's interesting to note, he doesn't use this phrase, "I remember you in my prayers," in too many other of his other writings. Now, I'm sure he was praying for the other churches. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he wasn't praying. But he wanted Philemon to know that he really wanted to pray for Philemon. And I think that's one thing that we need to be very careful that we do. When we need to let people know that I am choosing to pray for you. I know the circumstances you're going through. And I am stopping. I am taking the time to pray for you. Because you matter to me. Sometimes those can be the most powerful words we speak. Paul felt he needed to speak those words or write those words to Philemon. I wonder who needs to hear those words from you. Those words, "I know you and I am choosing to pray for you." Before we move on to verse 5, you'll also see that he knew who he was praying to. Once again, that might seem pretty obvious. Of course, he knew he was praying to God. But we have to understand that he knew who God was. And if we read his other writings, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians and the like, you'll see that he knows exactly who his God is. And that makes all the difference, knowing who we're talking to. He's talking to Father God, the one who sent Jesus Christ to the world to be Saviour. Oftentimes, we hear the phrase from people who are non-Christians, "I'm praying for you." You heard those words? "Yeah, you know, I'm praying for you." Or, "Our prayers are with you." And you kind of wonder, that's great, but who are you actually praying to? What are those prayers that you speak, or is it just a pleasantry that you're placing out there? There's no reference to who they're praying to. We need to know who is the receiver of our prayers and let God know that he is our God and we want to talk to him. Oh, and before we move on to the next verse, Paul prays with a thankful heart. And once again, we see a quality in Paul. Sure, there'll be times and lots of times when thankfulness may not actually be the center of our thinking at that point in time. May not be what we feel. Lots of other words may come into our thoughts, like frustration or disappointment or anger or grief. And they're all legitimate emotions, no question about it. And we're allowed to express those emotions. We certainly see that King David, when he wrote the Psalms, went through all of those things. "I cried out to God for help." And in the same psalm he writes, "Will the Lord reject me forever? Has his unfailing love vanished forever?" All of this and more he wrote in Psalm 77. "My spirit grows faint." Yet in this very same psalm, David also writes, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on them all, on all your works. I will consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways are holy, O Lord. What God is so great as our God? You see, the two can go hand in hand and really need to go hand in hand. We can speak about our frustrations, but there should always be thankfulness not too far away. Because we have every reason to be thankful. Surely there's sometimes there are things that set us back. But there should always be a deep thankfulness that resides within our spirit. Why? Because God is our God. And that should be enough for us to be thankful. So Paul says in verse 4, I choose to be thankful. I choose to have a thankful spirit. He says, I know who my God is, the one true God, the Father of Jesus Christ, my Saviour. And he also declares that he is a man of prayer. So while I recognise that you're probably fairly keen to move on from verse 4, that's all verse 4, I thought we might take something else out of verse 4, right, if that's all right with you. The other thing which Paul says here is he remembers Philemon. This isn't some generic letter that I pray for all the churches, I pray for Christians everywhere, although he probably does that. He wanted Philemon to know that he remembered him. And even that word, as he says, I remember you, Philemon, will no doubt have done something for Philemon as well. Well, they will both be remembering the encounters that they'd had in the past. Those moments when they spent time together that were critical to both of them. And do you ever have those moments when you remember an encounter you've had with someone? And fortunately, there's not too many other people looking on at the time, because as your thoughts go to a particular person or a situation, all of a sudden there's this big smile on your face and everyone else around you thinks, what on earth are they going on about? What are they smiling about? But there's this thought, there's this thing that happens that just brings a joy to your spirit. I think it's a great moment. I love seeing someone smile when you have no idea what they're smiling about. And I think that's what will have happened here. As Philemon got the letter and Paul says, I remember. I have no doubt that Philemon says, I remember too. It was a great moment, a great experience. You know, we had a general superintendent of the Baptist Union in Queensland. I can't remember his name, so this is not good for this illustration. But he could remember everyone. I've never known anyone like him. Not only could he remember everyone's name, but he could remember your circumstances. And he would ask the most bizarre questions. You know, I remember you were renovating your house. How did you go with that wall? And you go, how does he even know my name, let alone my circumstances? There's something special when we're remembered. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to remember the people that God puts in our care. All right, let's go on to verse 5. It had to happen eventually, didn't it? Verse 5 here in this passage. Why does he thank God in his prayers? We see there it's because Paul hears about the faith, about Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus and his love for all the saints. I think the question that immediately comes to mind is, who's been telling Paul? Who's been telling Paul about these things? Because Paul says, I've been hearing about it. Paul's in prison. So who's been telling him about it, and why has that been communicated? I think most people would believe that there were different representatives from all the churches that would come every so often and visit Paul in prison. And so these representatives would probably come and give a good report on what's taking place in their churches. And maybe it's through that a report is given from the church in Colossae, where it says, okay, there's this home church that meets in Philemon's house and he's doing very well. That could have been the case. But I have no doubt that Philemon was probably wondering as well, who's been talking. And we don't really know. But there's a thing called pastor's privilege. All right, so pastor's privilege means that I can put forward my idea. I've got no absolute foundation for this, so if anyone tries to say, well, I'm not sure that that's theologically sound, well, that's fine, but this is my theory, okay? So I'll tell you in advance when it's pastor's privilege. This is pastor's privilege. This is what I think. I actually think it was Onesimus. I actually think it was Onesimus, the slave, who was telling Paul about those things. Or at least I'd like to think it was Onesimus. Yes, he was a runaway slave. And yes, he was considered useless. But it's because of the phrase that Paul uses that kind of gives me that idea that maybe it was him who was reporting these things to Paul. He said he hears about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for all the saints. I wonder whether Onesimus could see the special experience, the special unitedness, the special spirit that the believers possessed, and that the Philemon was absolutely tremendous with the saints. And I often wonder whether Onesimus yearned to have that same sort of experience. Oh, if only I could be counted within those saints and to be part of that rich fellowship and experience that they have. I wonder whether Onesimus deliberately went to Paul, said, I want to know about this Jesus that all the saints are celebrating. I want to have that same experience of that Saviour. And I want to be counted in the number of the saints. I don't know that, but I wonder whether that's the reason that Onesimus and Paul caught up. However it was, Paul heard, and it was clear that the faith that had been established in Philemon had continued to grow, and that gave Paul great confidence. Not only had he received that faith himself, but he was passing it on to others. And that's to Philemon's credit. But as tremendous as this report was, when Paul received it, it was also clear that something else was happening. And I don't know whether you notice it in this verse. There's also clear, fairly clear in this verse, that there is something else that is obviously happening. And that is that the church, and Philemon in particular, had become very inward-looking. They had become very inward-looking. The great disease, if you like, within the Christian church, where we just look inwardly. The church had started to develop a holy huddle. And as much as we see that starting to happen, and I think that's actually why Onesimus brought this letter back to Philemon. Onesimus and the other slaves were probably asking about Jesus. And I wonder whether Onesimus has had that conversation with his owner. How can I become a Christian? And Philemon and others are saying, well, no, we're just this group of Christians and we just gather together. And there was no sharing of the gospel. Or it certainly seems as though there was very little of the sharing of the gospel. Surely we haven't got to that point, have we? We haven't got to that point where we've become a holy huddle. And that we're reluctant to share the message of Jesus with others. It says there that I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You see there, the problem has become they're not sharing their faith. When we choose not to share our faith or fail to share our faith, then we really forget what we've been saved to do. And we really miss out. We have a lack of knowledge in regards to the very good things that we have in Christ. But as we share, as we begin to share our story with someone, all of a sudden those memories of the things and experiences that we've had come to the fore. This is why you should become a Christian. I want to tell you my experiences. I want to tell you my story. And it fans into flame that enjoyment and that excitement we have as Christians. The wonder of the Christian experience is not getting old. And we need to be sharing it. It needs to be restored to our thinking. I hope that your Christian experience hasn't become one of those things that just is. It can feel like it's losing power and significance. Our encounters with the Creator God shouldn't just be a past memory. Do you want the real joy? Do you want the real joy, that joy that you have known of your Christian walk to be restored? For many people, it might have been in the teenage years. That moment you first had an encounter with Jesus Christ and you remember the joy and the excitement and the wonder of that, would you like that to be restored? Paul declares here, that takes place when we share the gospel. Let's make sure that we remember the story. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Paul finishes this segment with another word of encouragement and acknowledges the good works that have been done. This is the balance we need to get right. Paul is highlighting it well in this letter. We need to encourage one another in the good things that are happening. But we also need to acknowledge that the good things that we have and do is all because God is at work. We need to give thanks to God for his goodness. So here are some of the steps that are outlined in what Paul writes. We start by giving thanks and praising God because he alone is worthy of our praise. We take time to tell people about the good things that they are doing, but at the same time recognize there's still more to be done. Today is a day where we've set aside today to give thanks. And after this time together, we're going to be sharing in having a cake together. It's a Thanksgiving cake, a cake where we acknowledge the goodness of God to our church. And we need to do that. It's time for us to recognize that God has been good to us. But we also want to acknowledge the people who've been serving the church well. And we need to make sure we take the time to thank them for that. We need to rejoice together. We need to recognise the challenges we have faced. And at the same time, we need to look at all that we're doing and say, Lord, will you propel us into the future to do more for you? It needs to be a new year with new opportunities and new challenges. And that's really what we need to be ready to face as we move on from here. So the question I want to ask you today, and if you have the book of Philemon open or your bulletin open, if Paul was writing these four verses to you, Paul knows you and he was writing these four verses to you, what do you think he would be writing to you? Would he utter these same words of encouragement because he hears of what you're doing? Or do you think he would write maybe a few tones of sadness that the work that was started just seems to be falling away a little? What do you think he would write about you? I'm going to read these verses again. And as I read these verses, I'd like you to consider whether these are words that would be written to you. And if there's some component of it that you may be a little uncomfortable with, and maybe it's something that you need to bring before the Lord, can I encourage you to pray about it? And consider what response you need to make so that this letter would be an encouraging letter about you and your life. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith
so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Can I encourage you to pray? And just reflect on those words and consider what words Paul would write to you and whether or not there's some response that you need to make. I'd like to just give you a few moments of quietness. Father, I want to thank you for the very fact that you have given to us salvation through Jesus Christ. And Father, we get great joy in walking this journey under your leading. But there are times when we probably fall short of what you would want us to be, where we forget to share the story of our salvation message. We forget to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't set out to refresh their hearts. Father, would you help us to work together in not only building up the people around us, but knowing that the whole church is building up others as well. We want to be a church that looks out. We want to care for those inside, but we also want to look out and look for ways in which we can care for others. Please do this in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.